Good morning. What day is today? Pardon? Say it a little bit louder. Pentecost. How did you know that? Oh, it's on the board. Oh, given away. Oh, that wasn't great, was it? It is such a great day, and I have to say I'm so excited, but I'm also nervous, to be honest, because God has really, really impressed on me the power of this day. And what I want to do is I want you to join me with your Bibles or your devices with the Bible on. I want you to follow me. We're going to read some scriptures. We've got a bit of reading to do this morning. And I think as we go, you will see why we're reading these scriptures, and then we'll take an opportunity just to unpack some of it. And as we do that, we will just allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us and amongst us this morning. So would you turn with me to John chapter 14, please, and verse 15. John chapter 14 and verse 15. I'll give you a couple of seconds to find it, and John chapter 14 and verse 15, reading through to verse 21. If you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. Soon the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Since I live, you also will live. When I am raised to life again, you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them, and I will love them and reveal myself to each of them. Over to verse 23, same chapter, verse 23. Jesus replied, "All who love me will do what I say. My Father will love them, and we will come and make our home with each of them. Anyone who doesn't love me will not obey me. And remember, my words are not my own. What I am telling you is from the Father who sent me. I am telling you these things now while I am still with you. But when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is, the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart, and the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. Remember what I told you. I am going away, but I will come back to you again. If you really loved me, you would be happy that I am going to the Father, who is greater than I am. I have told you these things before they happen, so that when they do happen, you will believe." Now over to John chapter 16, please, and verse 5. John chapter 16 and verse 5. "But now I am going away to the one who sent me, and not one of you is asking where I am going. Instead, you grieve because of what I've told you. But in fact, it is best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the Advocate won't come. If I do go away, then I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of its sin, and of God's righteousness, and of the coming judgment. The world's sin is that it refuses to believe in me. Righteousness is available because I go to the Father, and you will see me no more. Judgment will come because the ruler of this world has already been judged." There is so much more I want to tell you, but you can't bear it now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. All that belongs to the Father is mine. This is why I said the Spirit will tell you whatever he receives from me. And now let's go to Acts chapter 2, please. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. They were completely amazed. "How can this be?" they exclaimed. "These people are all from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking in their own native languages. Here we are, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, people from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, the province of Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the areas of Libya around Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, and we hear all these people speaking in their own languages about the wonderful things God has done." And then over to verse, let's run straight over to verse 32, please. So we've just skipped over Peter's time of preaching to the people. The people were thinking basically that these folk, because they were speaking in other languages, were drunk. And Peter took them on with courage and power and explained, no, they're not drunk at all. And he preaches to them. And this is the end of his message. And we're just doing that for sake of time. God raised, verse 32, God raised from the dead, and we are all witnesses of this. Now he is exalted to the place of highest honour in heaven at God's right hand. And the Father, as he had promised, gave them the Holy Spirit to pour out upon us, just as you see and hear today. For David himself never ascended into heaven, yet he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit in the place of honour at my right hand until I humble your enemies, making them a footstool under your feet. So let everyone in Israel know for certain that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, to be both Lord and Messiah. Peter's words pierced their hearts, and they said to him and to the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? Peter replied, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promises to you and to your children and even to the Gentiles, all who have been called by the Lord our God. Then Peter continued preaching for a long time, strongly urging all his listeners, save yourselves from this crooked generation. Those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day about 3,000 in all. How incredible, don't you think? Absolutely incredible. You could not fit 3,000 people on this property. 3,000 people came to know the Lord that day, the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was given to the church. Now, Tony asked me to speak on the day of Pentecost, and when he came and asked me, I thought, why is he asking me? There's some pretty high-powered people here at Church on Vogel, and as he asked me, it suddenly dawned on me, I knew why. Because today for me has been a 3-year journey, because the Holy Spirit has been working and working and working in me over 3 years. 3 years ago,
I could not have stood here and talked to you about the power of the Holy Spirit, because there were areas in my life that were not surrendered to the Holy Spirit. And so isn't God incredible that he, firstly, he's incredible because why is he worried about me? I'm just one of his many millions in this world. But he fingered me to bring this message because God knew the journey that I've been on and that I wasn't really his best son, and that I needed to share with you the importance of being surrendered to the work of the Holy Spirit. That's why I'm here. That's why Tony asked me to speak this morning. So this is a journey which the Holy Spirit has taken me on, and this is not me telling you something that you have to do. This is me sharing God's word as directed by the Holy Spirit from my heart, asking that as you hear this morning, you will respond to what the Holy Spirit's saying to us. And where we start is the day of Pentecost. So let's start at the day of Pentecost. What is today's date? 28th of May. The reality in my experience through church life is that I have never, ever celebrated the day of Pentecost ever before in my Christian life. This is a first for me. I don't think, and certainly in my upbringing in the Brethren Assemblies, I've never celebrated the day of Pentecost. Or never. I've heard it mentioned, but I've never heard it spoken about in detail and highlighted to us all. And so today is actually quite a formative day. Why are we thinking about the day of Pentecost this morning? The reason is that if you take a moment to think about the giving of the Holy Spirit to the church at that time, that was a massive event. But can you imagine in the 10 days between when the Lord ascended and when the Holy Spirit was given, can you just imagine in your mind, if you can, what it would be like to be without the Comforter, to be with no one? Jesus had ascended. Jesus was not physically here on earth. The Holy Spirit had not been given. So the disciples were here with no advocate, no Comforter, and no physical presence of Jesus. And as I thought about that, that really bothered me, because it helped me to think about, what if we didn't have the Holy Spirit with us? Can you imagine what it would be like to be living our lives as Christians without the Comforter, without the Advocate with us? And as I thought about that, I thought, that means I'm on my own. I'm making my own decisions. Whatever I decide, that's it. I've got no one guiding, prompting, convicting, challenging, helping me. The Holy Spirit is not here. And that really bothered me. And I think it translates to making us think how amazing that when we didn't have the physical presence of the Lord himself, we now have the presence of the Holy Spirit in each one of us if we own and love the Lord Jesus Christ as our own personal Saviour. Isn't that awesome? When you think about it, that was not only the birth of the church, but it was also one of the most amazing things for us to experience as Christians, to have the Holy Spirit within us. So this morning, really simply, what I want to do with the Holy Spirit's help is that I want to identify to you that how filled you are with the Holy Spirit is only limited by how much you allow the Holy Spirit to fill you. I'll say that again. How filled you are with the Holy Spirit is only limited by how much you allow the Holy Spirit to fill you. And I'm really keen to debate this and discuss this later. So it's absolutely brilliant that there's lunchtime, so we'll be able to have some great discussions about whether we agree with this or not. The power of the Holy Spirit in those who are Christians is limitless. Yes, it is. It is. It's limitless. Any barriers to the work of the Holy Spirit can be taken away. Right? They can be. And with the Holy Spirit within us, nothing is off the table. Right? With the Holy Spirit within us, nothing is off the table. All right? We kind of just tick along day by day, Sunday by Sunday, but nothing is off the table. That is really important. So when we look at the day of Pentecost in the whole structure of important events in the Bible, it's quite interesting. Now, what I tried to do is I tried to make sure that there were seven. And if we can have the next slide. The Lord's return kind of messed up my seven because it makes it eight. So I just said, Lord, I know you're returning. And so it looks better with the seven there, Lord. Please just come with me on this. And so if we look from creation right through to Pentecost, we see that Pentecost is absolutely a key part of important events in our church history. Would you not agree? Oh, that's not really that great. Would you not agree? Amen. I tell you what, you're going to be fizzing by the time the Lord's finished with us this morning. So let's unpack Acts 2 just a little bit, okay? Just a little bit. Many of you have probably read it, all being well. Some of you wanted to read it, but you didn't quite get there. So we'll just unpack it in a simple form. So we see that the Holy Spirit comes. What we see in Acts 2 is that the Holy Spirit comes on the disciples and those who are present. We see here the fulfillment of the John the Baptist's words about the Holy Spirit baptizing with fire in Luke 3 and 16. And also the prophet Joel's words about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Joel 2. Why tongues of fire? Tongues symbolize speech and the communication of the gospel. Fire symbolizes God's purifying presence, which burns away the undesirable elements of our lives and sets our hearts aflame to ignite the lives of others. At Pentecost, fire came down on many believers, symbolizing that God's presence is available to all who believe in him. At Pentecost, God confirmed the validity of the Holy Spirit's ministry by sending fire. God made his presence known to this group of believers in what you would call a spectacular way. Roaring wind, fire, and his Holy Spirit. Imagine being in that room. Roaring fire. Roaring wind. And the Holy Spirit coming upon them all. And the people in that place literally spoke in other languages as the Spirit gave them the ability. A miraculous attention getter for the international crowd gathered in town for the festival. All the nationalities represented recognized their own languages being spoken. This is no mean recognition. This is quite incredible and miraculous. More than miraculous speaking drew people's attention. However, they saw the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. They could understand in their own language what God was saying to them about the wonderful things God has done, Scripture says. We read it. The Holy Spirit also gave power, strength, and courage to Peter and the disciples that were there to challenge those gathered about their need to repent. So yes, that's Peter. That's our Peter from the New Testament, who was a bit wayward, but the Holy Spirit came upon him and gave him courage and power to preach to these people, to help them understand their need of Jesus. Peter preaches, he explains that this has been a long prophesied and is a fulfillment from the prophet Joel as he spoke of Jesus' death, burial and resurrection. Peter also was signalling through the fulfillment of Joel's prophecy that they were now entering the last days. That the apostles were eyewitnesses of Jesus' entire public ministry and were his chosen representatives. That the people here were called to repent of their sins and have faith in God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter tells them about the importance of salvation and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that was promised to those who respond to the gospel. They were amazed and they were confused. At the completion of Peter's message, the Holy Spirit had convicted every single person that was there. The Holy Spirit had convicted every single person that was listening. And Scripture in verse 37, Peter's words pierced their hearts and they said to him and to the other apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" And Peter simply says, "Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins." Such an amazing, simple gospel message. Then Peter continued preaching for a long time. So I feel that's a very good biblical reason for us to use as much time as possible this morning. Malcolm's going, maybe not. Then Peter continued preaching for a long time. He strongly urged all of his listeners, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." And we see that miraculous 3,000 souls came to know the Lord. Incredible, eh? Just incredible. Just incredible. It's the thrill that goes through you when you see a group of people come to know Jesus for the first time. That on steroids must have been what it was like to see the 3,000 come to know the Lord, eh? It would have just been incredible, absolutely incredible. So a couple of things. It dawned on me that we don't all understand who the Holy Spirit is. It also dawned on me that we all don't necessarily understand the words, the phrase that we use, being filled with the Holy Spirit. So I just want to take a little window of time just to explain that so that we're all clear. So the Holy Spirit is the third member of the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the comforter, you've heard me say that, the advocate, keeper, the one that God the Father identified as being the one member of the Trinity that would always be with us when Jesus ascended back to heaven. That is an amazing, fantastic reassurance that we have, that God had allocated one member of the Trinity that would always be with us when Jesus went back to heaven. The Holy Spirit indwells us when we have faith, when we surrender our life to the Lord Jesus, and he becomes the driver of our life and the intentions we have in our life. The Holy Spirit remains with us for the rest of our days. The Holy Spirit was given to go out within the disciples when they went out to Judea, yeah, Samaria, outermost parts of the earth, absolutely. So that was why the Holy Spirit was given to the disciples. And this was God's way to empower his disciples for mission across the world. What an incredible concept that God would place one of the Trinity in the disciples and help them, empower them with power, strength, and the Holy Spirit to go on mission to the rest of the world. How cool is that? Don't you get a bit excited about that? You need to get excited because it's the same Holy Spirit that we have in us today. It is. Hasn't changed. And guess what? Guess what? God's mission for the church has not changed, right? So we've got the Holy Spirit within us. We take the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world. We take it to Roslyn, to Palmerston North, to Manawatu, to the other regions of the country, to the whole country, to the rest of the Pacific and to the world. In our lives, we're all different. We're all at different points in our journey with the Holy Spirit within us. We come from incredibly different backgrounds and life stories. If we own Jesus as Lord and Saviour, the Holy Spirit is within us. He's alive and he's active in our lives 24/7. What does being filled with the Holy Spirit mean? I've kept this relatively simple, okay, because that's where I gravitate to, simple. When we surrender our life to Jesus and invite him to take control, we become a Christian and part of God's family, right? At this point, the Holy Spirit comes to live within us. He indwells us. Being filled is not a once-only experience. Now, come with me on this. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is about continuing to be filled. Yes?
Yes.
Continuing to be filled. And in the words of Tom Wilson, being filled with the Holy Spirit, a continual process. It is ongoing and it doesn't stop. As we live our Christian life day to day, the Holy Spirit longs for us to give him full control of our life. But this only happens when we surrender our will to his guidance, his direction, and his power in our lives. It only happens when we surrender our will to his guidance, direction, and power. God has given each one of us a free will. And the interesting thing is that it is completely our call. It is completely our call how much of our life we surrender to the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has been given to us as the comforter, the advocate, to walk with us in every aspect of our Christian walk. He is the most powerful spirit in the universe. Yeah? He is the most powerful spirit in the universe and can impact any person or situation in the life of a Christian if we ask him to. Right? As Christians with the Holy Spirit within us, there is nothing that we can't do if it's God's will. Right? Yep. We're doing pretty good. We're agreeing. So that's good. No one's walked out, so praise the Lord. Surrendering our lives completely to the work of the Holy Spirit through us is how we walk fully in the will of God for our lives. Let me read that again. Surrendering our lives completely to the work of the Holy Spirit through us is how we walk fully in the will of God for our lives. It is the way that we reflect God's glory to those we live and work with to take the gospel to our community, city, region, country, and world. Pentecost was the most impactful day in the life of the church. Why was this the most impactful day in the life of the church? For a starter, at Pentecost, they were not under law, they were under the freedom of the Holy Spirit. Yes? Law had gone, the Holy Spirit was within them. The church was born. Did you pick up the King of Kings song we just sung before I came up to spoke? Did you get excited about the words in King of Kings? The church was born. The church was started. That was us. The Holy Spirit was available to every believer to facilitate the power of the gospel to everyone on earth. God the Father had given to the church the greatest advocate, comforter in history to help each believer reach the world with the gospel. Nothing was off the table. And by that I mean, let's go through it. Let's look at this from what was in Scripture. Nothing was off the table. Power of conviction. Yes? Sensitivity and discernment to complicated individual personal situations. Yes? Miracles of healing. Yes? Maimed people walking again. Yes. Evil spirits being cast out. Yes. Blind people seeing. Yes. Sickness of any description being cured. Yes. Lives being changed. Yes. Lives full of greed turning to lives of generosity. Yes. Lives full of sin and condemnation being freed and saved. Murderers being transformed into evangelists. Where does that happen? Paul. People from different countries understanding the gospel in their own language for the first time. Yes. Lives were being radically changed. Yes. Amazing men and women of God were being raised up for the cause of the gospel. Yes. Nothing has changed. Nothing's changed. I know you think, what is he getting so worked up about? But nothing has changed. We 2, have the Holy Spirit available with us to be effective in taking the gospel to our suburb, to our city, to our region, to our nation. He is with us. He's here. All of New Zealand. Even the Pacific. Even Laos. Right? The Holy Spirit's with us. And the rest of what we know is a mixed up world. We have the exact same Holy Spirit available to us today. I'm excited about that because he's with us. No other group has God manifest in the Holy Spirit in them with the power and ability to do anything that he wills. That is just outstanding to me. Outstanding. So nothing has changed. Or has it? Or has it? Or has it? Are we being outsmarted? Here we go.
Preach it, brother, preach it.
Back in 2010, I did some research and teaching on Satan. And I was so moved and convicted about the impact of Satan on my family that on the Christmas of 2010, I put a bookmark together. And the bookmark said this, so that Satan will not outsmart us. 2 Corinthians 2 verse 11. Satan once said, as long as Christians stay close to God, we've no power over them. So, 1, keep them busy with non-essentials. 2, tempt them to overspend and go into debt. 3, make them work long hours to maintain empty lifestyles. 4, discourage them from spending family time, for when homes disintegrate, there's no refuge from work. 5, overstimulate their minds with television and computers so that they can't hear God speaking to them. 6, fill their coffee tables and nightstands with newspapers and magazines so they've no time for Bible reading. 7, flood their letterboxes with sweepstakes, promotions and get-rich-quick schemes. Keep them chasing material things. 8, put glamorous models on TV and on magazine covers to keep them focused on outward appearances. That way they'll be dissatisfied with themselves and their mates. 9, make sure couples are too exhausted for physical intimacy. That way they'll be tempted to look elsewhere. Emphasize saints. Emphasize Santa and the Easter Bunny. That way you'll divert them from the real meaning of the holidays. 11, involve them in good causes so they won't have any time for eternal ones. 12, make them self-sufficient. Keep them so busy working in their own strength that they'll never know the joy of God's power working through them. Do you understand the difference between being busy and being successful in what God's called you to do? Sometimes busy, B-U-S-Y, just means being under Satan's yoke. That was 13 years ago. And why I'm excited is because the Holy Spirit is within every single one of us here this morning. He manifests his power and his strength through us by the will of God as he convicts us and guides us. But we are getting outsmarted because this is as relevant to today as it was 13 years ago. In fact, more so. And I'm not pushing this on you. This is me. I'm challenged by this to my core. And I just can't help but think about the things that stop us from being more filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, we are compelled as God's people here at COV to ask ourselves, are we being outsmarted? We may never even have taken the time to sit down and before God ask questions like this. Do I want to run my life instead of the Holy Spirit having control? Is there unconfessed sin in my life? Is there unforgiveness in my life or in any of my relationships? Are there wrongs that haven't been put right? Are there hurts that haven't been resolved? Are there addictions that I am not taking responsibility for? Is there behaviour and language in my life that is not God-honouring? Are there idols that are more a priority than the work of the Spirit? It is entirely our call how much traction and space the Holy Spirit has in our lives, whether small, some, or all, it is our call. He does not force himself. He will prompt and convict, but it depends on whether we respond to his prompting or whether we ignore it. That's why it's called free will. It is entirely our call how much traction and space the Holy Spirit has in our lives, whether it's small, some, or all, it is our call. These barriers to being more filled with the Spirit are easily, no they're not, are able to be taken away, but not easily. I want to just hone in on something that's really important, which is the battle which we sometimes forget. Day to day, for each one of us, the battle between my sinful nature versus the Holy Spirit in Romans 8. And I just want you to listen to this. Romans 8, 5 to 14, verse 5. Listen to what Scripture says. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. Clear as, eh? Clear. Yes?
Yep.
That's clear. That is clear. There's no fudging, no murky there. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. Clear as. Yep. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. No, we aren't. You are controlled by the Spirit. If you have the Spirit of God living in you, and we do, yes. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to him at all. Now that's a sobering little pair of brackets there, because that's saying to us all here this morning, if you're in a situation where you don't have a relationship with Jesus, you are not family, and you do not have the Spirit of Christ living within you. And that's the most important thing that you can do, is to rectify that and surrender your life to Jesus. That's clear as. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. And that's what I've struggled with all through my life, is the whole push that the sinful nature brings into my life and clouds and makes things murky. It's really beautiful here, because it says you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. For if you live by its dictates, in other words, what it tells you to do, you'll die. It's straight up. You'll die if you follow the dictates of your sinful nature. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. We are children of God if we own Jesus as our own Saviour this morning. That is so awesome. So, brothers and sisters, dear friends, I think that the big idea in Acts 2 and the day of Pentecost is the Holy Spirit is the difference. We can debate this. It'll be fun debating it. I also think that there's a second big idea. That's a bit revolutionary. How much you allow the Holy Spirit to fill you is also the difference. You with me? How much you allow the Holy Spirit to fill you is also the difference. So there's no doubt in my mind that the day of Pentecost is one of the most significant days in the life of the church. No doubt in my mind. As the Holy Spirit was unleashed on the believers in Jerusalem, so the same Holy Spirit's available to us here at Church on Vogel this morning. The mission hasn't changed. Same mission, to take the gospel to the world. We have the power of the Holy Spirit with us now to help us navigate the true complexities and challenges of our day to day. We have no need to be afraid, no need to be worried, no need to be fearful. The Holy Spirit is with us all the way. His supernatural power is with us in every aspect of our Christian walk. Doesn't that excite you? I think his supernatural power is with me in every aspect of my life. And here's the thing. I've been proving it day by day with God's help. I have been placed in places I should never have been to do things that I should never have done, all by God's hand and the work of the Spirit. I have had situations in my life where I have been bewildered and frustrated and maybe angry that some situation wasn't happening. And further down the line, I have just seen God's Spirit open the doors that were once shut. The Holy Spirit's power is within each of us. So here's the first question I want to ask us. So this is where you need to buckle up, okay? So here we go. First question, have you surrendered your life to Jesus? Do you have a relationship with him right now? Because until we've got there, we can't go anywhere with the Holy Spirit. Second question, if you know Jesus, you have a relationship, however short or long that has been, are you prepared to allow the Holy Spirit to have full control of your life by filling you completely this morning? What role does the Holy Spirit have in your life right now? Is it a simple passing thought? Is it more than just a passing thought? All of us, as we're sitting here, all of us know, as you look at me, eyeball to eyeball, we all know there is room for improvement, eh? We do. Where does the Holy Spirit fit for you? Nothing? A passing thought? More than a passing thought? Quite a bit, but not all? Or it is all? Where do we go from here? What we need to be reminded about is that how filled I am with the Holy Spirit is only limited by how much I allow the Holy Spirit to fill me. As a Christian, the power of the Holy Spirit is limitless. It is limitless. Dear friends, I do not believe for 1 minute that we have seen the power of the Holy Spirit to its fullest extent in our lives, in our walk as a church family. Any barriers can be taken away. We know that. It's our call whether we take those barriers away. With the Holy Spirit indwelling us, there is nothing according to God's will that we can't do. Nothing. It's all there for us. So what's stopping us? What's stopping us? See, as the Lord has placed this on my heart, I've done what the Lord asked me to do this morning. And now I'm throwing the ball into your court. Because I am still a definite work in progress. I'll be trying to surrender my life to the Holy Spirit for the rest of my days. I will. I will be combating barriers in my life all the way along. Because believe you me, Satan knows how to zero me. He knows my weak points. But we need to ask for ourselves this morning, is my life completely surrendered to the filling and work of the Holy Spirit? Am I limiting the filling of the Holy Spirit in my life? What is it that is limiting the power of the Holy Spirit in my life? And here's the most serious question. What am I actually going to do about it? So, dear church family, I want to say to you, our lives and COV will change completely when God, through his Holy Spirit, is fully involved in every aspect of our lives. COV and us will change completely when God, through his Holy Spirit, is fully involved in every aspect of our lives. Amen? And I don't know how that's going to look for you. I know the struggles that I've had, and I know the challenges I've had. And that's why, I hope you can understand why, God, through his Spirit, asked Tony to ask me to speak to you this morning. Because I have struggled with this for 3 years. And I'm not there yet. I'm still a work in progress. But I want to leave you with a benediction. And the benediction is this, Galatians 5:25. We did a series on the fruit of the Spirit, didn't we? And at the end of the series of the fruit of the Spirit, guess what verse pops up? Verse 25. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Amen? Absolutely. I want you to be enthused. I want you to be encouraged this morning. I want the Holy Spirit to have delved deep into your heart this morning and raised the things that you know that you need to do business with God on. I can't do that. That's why I have to throw the ball into your court, because it's individual. It's for us individually to manage and to deal with that with the Holy Spirit's help. But what I want to do is I want to close in prayer. I want to commit this time to the Lord. And what I want to do is what we did last week, which is to just take time to have a time space where we can just meditate on what God said to us through his word. That we reach down into our hearts and find those areas that we need to address. And we only know them individually. Only you can work that through for yourself. I can't do that for you. But I want to just create some time, about 5 minutes, where we can just meditate on what the Lord has been impressing us through his Spirit this morning. And if there's something that you are completely convicted about and you want to come forward in prayer, feel free to do that. I'll be sitting down here. Would be my absolute privilege to pray with you. And I've put the elders and their wives on point so they're ready too. But if you would prefer to just sit where you are, it is the easier option, and it's fine. If you want to stay where you are and just take time to meditate before God and ask him, what is it that I need to take away as a barrier to the greater filling of your Holy Spirit in my life? Please address that in your own life and go forward from here today feeling that the Holy Spirit has anointed you afresh and completely. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your Holy Spirit that was given to the early church on the day of Pentecost. Thank you for this day. Thank you for all it means to us as born-again Christians that we are so grateful for the giving of the Comforter, the Advocate, in our lives. Lord, forgive us for the parts where we don't get it right and we don't allow the Holy Spirit to fill us completely. Help us as we work on this in each of our lives. Most of all, Father, help within our souls for us to understand that the power of the Holy Spirit is within us, that everything that you want us to do can be done with his power and strength within us. Father, give us a new and a refreshed look at the work of Jesus in our lives and in the life of our church on Vogel here. Father, go with us now as we meditate in your presence. Bless us, speak to us, move us, I pray. And we acknowledge that all of this is from your hand as our amazing and awesome Heavenly Father. Thank you so much. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.